الله أكبر 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 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين كل ناني هداني ربي صراط المستقيم دينا قياما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحيحي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. Surely my Lord has guided me to a straight path and an upright way of life in the original religion of Ibrahim, the true and scrupulous believer. And he was not from those who set up partners with Allah. Truly say, my worship and my sacrifice and my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of all the worlds, in whose divinity none can share. This I am commanded, and I am the first among you who surrendered to him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, over this year, over a million people, Muslims around the world will celebrate, over a billion Muslims around the world will celebrate this feast of the sacrifice of Hajj, Eid al-Adha. And if not in Mecca, inshallah, in their homes, in their communities, wherever they may be, most important, inshallah, in their life. No, Ramadan and Eid al-Adha should leave us, hopefully, with a renewed inspiration, an affirmation, an action to carry the meaning of our inner intention and attention, an outless, selfless sacrifice and service into our day-to-day life. Without that, we're not making our life's journey in an ultimately successful way and spiritually fulfilling way. Our inner Hajj will be incomplete, and our outer manifestation of submission to the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fall far short of what this very short life can afford us. And most of us understand historically that the reason for this pilgrimage season is an affirmation of trust and faith, as exemplified in the prophet life of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ismail, his son's trust in both Allah and in his father. And the teaching from the time of the prehistory and through the Torah to this very day is little understood in its applicability in our lives today. So it's my firm belief in our tradition and our tradition of tasawwuf, we can find both the living meaning and the eternal metaphor for life, conscious decisions, the interface between the inner world and the outer world. We can understand a little more what we've been discussing of Basira and Firas, and the outer actions that require will and the willingness for all of us to develop the trust and to develop the trustworthiness, the love, and the self-sacrifice. There are those who see the acts of this time as pagan acts, carryovers, sacrifices, and pilgrimages, and weak people being led and misled by religious ritualists who seek only power and control, or at the least outdated metaphors designed to give some comfort to people who live their life with a lot of confusion and hopelessness, or hopes that are never resolved. Now, others see it as tools of some kind of amorphous evil god who imposes hardship and afflictions meaningless tests and trials in this kind of bifurcated world somehow sufficiently difficult and demanding without the added weight of religion. But evil does exist, and we find it in the hearts and the minds of human beings. And perhaps as we have each had the opportunity to personally learn over our lifetime, the day-to-day sacrifices and tests are but means of turning away from that evil and that selfishness towards an inner and even an outer life of more peace and tranquility. And our Quran teaches that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never advocates evil. Allah never commands what is shameful. But the onus of discovery of this truth is on us as individuals, for we have the power to see and we have the power to hear if we would but use it. Moreover, we have the power to make choices. And so like Sidna Ibrahim and Sidna Ismail, we are all afforded opportunities to have faith. You read through the Quran, you find so many opportunities that Sidna Ibrahim alayhi salam had. Rebelled against his father's idolatry, and then there's the stories of Nimrod and walking through the fire, and then all the difficulties that one after another, which I won't relate today because you should look them up, you should read them for yourself. And then of course the time when he's walking from where they had settled, which is now in Palestine at the place of the Bir Saba, the seven wells. And at the edge of this cultivated land and crossed the deserts and the mountain of Sin until finally they reached a patch of desert in the Arabian Peninsula, he with his wife and his child. And sat in this horribly ugly place at that time of black basalt. And the only thing that was left there in that uncultivated valley that had no free fruit, no trees, no water, no food of any kind, no sign of life, was the ruins of a foundation left from before the flood of Noah, alayhi salam. And these ruins that remained in the, were the remains of the ancient house founded by Adam and Hawa, may Allah protect their memories. And they were the reason that Allah had decided that this was the place for them to settle. And after Ibrahim, alayhi salam, had helped his wife and his child to dismount, he left them with a small amount of food. Now, hardly enough for 3 days. And he turned around and he walked away. And Hajar runs after him and she says to him, "Where are you going? Are you leaving us in this barren valley?" And he didn't answer her, but he continued his walking. And she repeated what she had said, and then he remained silent. And finally, after a few attempts, she understood that he was acting not on his own will, but on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, "Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this?" And he replied, "Yes." And then his wife said, "We're not going to be lost, since Allah has commanded you is with us." Ibrahim alayhi salam invoked Allah saying, "O our Lord, truly I have settled my offspring in an uncultivated valley near to your inviolable house. Our Lord, that they may establish salat. So make the hearts of people to incline them and to provide for them for the fruits that they might be grateful. Ya Rab, truly you know what we hide and that what we proclaim. Nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens." Said Sidna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who of us could have said that? You would have thought that would have been enough. That was the test. That was it. And so Hajj's faith and his dua were answered. And we know from the angel Jibreel, his salam, who revealed the means in the form of the well of Zamzam. And that guaranteed once again that the valley would be settled. And he passed and he left, and Ismail grows into puberty under the eyes of Hajar among the tribes of the Jurhum, who were attracted to the valley. How? By birds flying overhead. Because now it had been, there's water now. Now, that should be it. That should be his trial. But we'll learn in a while again, remember in a while again, that is not all there is. Not all there is. He's quite old, remember. He had a life of trials. This is the end of his life, theoretically. I mean, one would think. How many jihad did he have? How many struggles did he have? And like Sidney Ibrahim and Sidney Ismail, we're afforded to have the opportunity to have faith. To try or to be tried. And to rise above selfish desires to the level of love that transcends the common. I hope that you do not hear this in any way other than personally today. I pray to Allah you apply what I say today to your life today. Your decisions today and tomorrow. If nothing else, we are in a world of virtual reality given a view into the actual lives of people. Who are very distant from us. And able to see their courage. And we're able to see their sacrifices. And moreover, we're able to see and understand more and more the interrelatedness of our lives with theirs. If that's the only benefit of what we get from the technology today, that's a very big benefit. Pick up a magazine, go online to a news site, read the accounts of war and torture and financial ruin and fears and rebellion and rational and totally irrational thinking and irrational acting. Humanity now gathers daily in our television sets and on our computer screens these accounts, these narratives of tests and trials. Here, there, cities, countryside, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, China, America. Above the air, in the air, and in the seas. And what Kaaba do we turn toward to worship? Our heart in Mecca? Or do we return toward the pundits and the insane people whose voice resounds in the hearts and the minds of bigots and fearmongers? Where is Ismail? Where is the care and the concern that human beings were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, when he grew enough to work with him, he said, my son, I see in a dream that I am sacrificing you. What do you think? And he said, oh my father, do what you are commanded to do. We will come back to this again and again today. You will find me, O Allah, willing and patient. And we call him, O Ibrahim, you believed the dream. We have thus rewarded the righteous. This was an exacting test. But let's come to that. Let's move to that. Hold it in your mind. Yet another test. Yet another trial. What is most difficult for us is that we find the Ibrahimic and the Ismailic place within our own self. And to do that, we have to understand something which is perhaps a little disconcerting. We must understand life as a series of opportunities to understand submission and sacrifice and their means, selfless service. We must not only understand, but we have to consciously embrace the reality that at times this brings some level of change and some level of discomfort. If we say we're Muslims, if we act like Muslims, if we pray like Muslims, if you, like the ladies, some ladies dress like Muslims, then by Allah, we should be Muslims. True Muslims. And what is most significant is that as a result, it also is about perpetuity, these tests and trials and these opportunities and sustainability of love, of faith, of trust, of humility in our lives. Who doesn't want that to characterize their life? The usual word that is used for this day that commemorates this portion of this time is the Eid al-Adha or the Eid al-Qurban as a sacrifice. Yet it means also kinsmen, kith and kin. As Muslims, we understand that everyone is our brother. Everyone is our sister. We're all the children of Adam, alayhi salam. We also understand the relationship between ourselves and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, let's realize he was taken to the place that Adam and Hawa built. He didn't build his own place, and then historically we can look back and say, this is where Ibrahim built. And Sidna Adam is the father and Hawa are the father and mother of everyone. And we understand that this relationship between ourselves and our Lord, ourselves and the Prophet ﷺ, ourselves and the Anbiya, and ourselves and the Awliya, ourselves and our own Shuyukh and our Shaykh, and our spiritual family is another, and over our lifetime, the most profound relationship that we can have. When we look at nature and the lives of animals, all life is a process striving for strength, submitting to the elements, putting energy into creating the next generation, the fruit of life. Why then do we find it so difficult to understand our place in this process of sacrificing our own individual, selfish nature to the very same objective? Do any of us believe we will not be called on if we dodge this sacrifice or this opportunity that another one is not on its way? The train's on the track, brothers and sisters. It's on the track. Why then do we find it so difficult to understand our place in this process? Certainly the contemplating of the quality of consciousness, that unique, self-centered characteristic of human beings, begins to clarify our answer. Yet it does not, however, explain the inner urge in all good and normal human beings to create something much better. Just because we have consciousness doesn't explain the urge for good and evil. But it does seem, from life's experience, that good acts and mizan, balance, harmony, result in better opportunities, better work, better insights, a better physical surrounding for ourselves, for our offspring, for future generations. Is that not the characterization of those zemzem? To create a better place? And the only reasonable explanation lies in accepting the positive and the inspiring aspect of sacrifice itself. Embracing sacrifice. That is the love of our kin, our fellow beings, and our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and empowering and preparing others for life and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is accepting this immediate and this complete relationship with our own destiny, with our Creator, that frees us, that liberates us and our minds, our hearts, from the illusion of selfishness and self-importance. In other words, our life is about sacrifice. Sacrifice for the good of the following generations. Consciousness allows us to improve the circumstances of this world for a more qualified and creative progeny, and one that is clearer about their purpose, clearer about their role in life than we are or were. But only when that consciousness is part of worship, part of obedience, part of submission, part of trust, part of selflessness. All of those are very hard for most of us, most human beings. We can all identify with the difficulty of those characteristics. Our life is about living for the future. It's not about living just for ourselves. Our self-interest is valid only insofar as we continue striving to maximize our potential and our creativity for the purpose of sustaining life for future generations. And it's difficult for us to decondition ourselves from our ideas and from our fantasies about life, thinking in very materialistic, personal, career-oriented ways that somehow Allah's plan for us is other than perpetuating and striving toward knowledge, other than sustaining our community, other than focusing our faith and our worship on Him and our actions from our hearts. But indeed, that is what it's about. And that is what we've been told it's about from the very beginning of time. Each generation has had and has the opportunity to live in harmony with creation, to build upon the previous generation's work, to meet the tests that come, and finally, if passed, liberate us from the sense of distance and loneliness from our Creator. Yet each generation tends to miss that opportunity by transferring the ultimate goal to something worldly, something temporary. We are all experts at that. And that's not to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not provide us with the appreciation of His creation. That's not to say that Allah did not give us the joy of work, or the sweetness of love, or the ability to feel fulfilled. Quite the contrary. All are part of the consciousness that separates human beings from the rest of creation, and which enables us to improve upon the conditions of others, to work, to sustain life, to sustain growth, to embrace knowledge, to create wisdom, to pursue nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, as I've said many times, the trees can't get up and move because they just desire, they don't like the place they're at. There's more sun on the other side of the stream, I'm going to move to there. Birds have very regular migration patterns, but we have this ability to make changes. It's our blessing. It's our curse. Every one of those benefits, the sweetness of love, the feeling of fulfillment, the joy of work, the joy of just seeing someone on occasion, have tests and trials that have come along with them. Small ones. Last night I related to you, I got a phone call from a message, an email from someone who wants to see me. I want to see them. I've missed them for 2 years. Busy week. It's a busy week. The person's leaving on Wednesday. I can't get there till Wednesday. So does it matter? It's a 4-hour drive up and a 4-hour drive back. It's a small test. It's a small trial. Do I have to do that every day? Huh? If I had to do that every day to see somebody, just to go to work, just to earn a few pennies, if I had to do it every day, would it compare to the test and the trials in Ibrahim alayhi salam? Would it compare to any one of those tests? Can you imagine what it was like for him to talk to his own father and say, look, what you're doing is wrong? It's not like he was an American living in the 21st century who badmouthed their parents. Every one of these benefits, the sweetness of love, and these opportunities demands an attitude of what? Of submission. It demands an attitude of trust, of faith, and obedience. And to live and to struggle or to thrive in the conditions and the situations that we find ourselves in, or which we have chosen, apparently for ourselves, is the basis of our trials and our tests. Embrace them then. The story of the sacrifice of the Eid al-Qurban has many facets, but I want today to discuss its relevance to us in real and necessary way for the world we find ourselves inhabiting, a world that demands our conscious participation, not merely presence in the physical sense. To recognize the relevance of Sohbet, a topic we've been diving very deeply into in recent months, we first have to accept our physical, our emotional, our social, and our intellectual interrelatedness. Moreover, we must embrace ideas which are, for many of us, an anathema. Actions which are, for many of us, burdens. Behavior, adab, which for most people, they find irrelevant and demeaning. We, Muslims, we, members of this tariqah, we, members of this family, sitting in this jamaat, we have to embrace the greater community, the lesser self, the greater love, the greater courage, the joy of giving, the joy that comes from patience, the pleasure of service, and the wisdom that comes and liberating joy of persevering and self-sacrifice. Remember, this is not theoretical today. We must learn to participate in the greater struggle. We must find the Ismail and the Ibrahim within ourselves. We must truly understand how to see this life that we've been given, and moreover, the place we have been placed, the service we have been receiving, and the servicefulness we have within us to give as the greatest means to personal and spiritual, collective and individual fulfillment, maturity, and awakening. The opportunities that we are afforded by Allah, if seen in our daily life, and that's a big if. it's seen in our daily life should not be turned away from. Don't avert your eyes from those opportunities. Even in the smallest way, even in the seemingly most individual ways, ways that ask of us limited sacrifice, limited discomfort, may very well be the ultimate keys to our happiness and overcoming our most basic weaknesses. Is there one among us who doesn't have a weakness? Asking ourselves, what discomfort can I tolerate? What difficulty can I bear that will relieve the discomfort of another person or persons who I work with or that I live with or I help or who sustain me or I help to sustain? Asking ourselves, what act or word of self-protection or self-discomfort can I abandon in order to create harmony, in order to avoid discord, in order to create an environment of relief instead of an environment of tension, support instead of abandonment? These are the most subtle and the most profound means of personal transformation. This is what makes Sidna Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sidna Ismail, all the Anbiya, all the Awliya, all the ones we quote and talk about every day, this is what makes them not just Muslims, not just Mu'min, but Murad, called by Allah. Truly, my dear brothers and sisters, acts of humaneness, acts of love, acts of appreciation, acts of gratitude to Allah by service and gratitude to a brother, a sister, a friend, a parent, the guide, the fellow guided, realizing that a modicum, even a sustained level of love, sustained low level of sacrifice, not like that of Ishmael, one of life of death or death, is a balm for the soul, a staircase to transforming the nafsamara, a way of preparation for life. From our childhood to learn this, to preparation for life by bearing and embracing these small sacrifices. To a child, it might be carrying the plate to the sink and washing it off. I don't want to do that. Making the bed, putting the clothes away. Deferring. And these are preparations not just for having happiness at home so your parents don't jump all over you to clean up your room. This is a teaching for us adults also. Each one of us has small sacrifices to make, small opportunities. But sometimes we think of them as big, as burdens, as preparation for life, for work, for marriage, for parenthood, for sustaining friendships, for journeying further and further within in the batin, for a life here, and for those of us who are older and further along in this life, for a life in the hereafter. Why should we, who have lived this life as Muslims, as Sufis, inshallah, as mu'min, allow ourselves to any level of selfishness that can easily be changed? Why should we allow ourselves any level of selfishness that can be changed by small discomforts, brief periods of effort, minimum efforts of service? This time today is an opportunity for reflection. Just as our brothers and sisters in Arafat yesterday reflected and previously in their hearts. This right now is our opportunity to strain a bit and struggle to see ourselves as part of a larger community, this family, this tariqah, just as our brothers and sisters in their ihram moved by their own feet and by the push of the crowd, prayed their prayers in the comfort of their heart and the soul at the Kaaba, but the discomfort of their bodies, pressed one against another in the heat of the desert, in the rain this year, with those people around them drowning, and the hardness of the ground, knowing that it would end soon, this Hajj, but wishing it would not. giving a hand to one who stumbles, or a drink to one who is thirsty, a good word to one who shares the joyful discomforts of life on the march to the final destination that we are all marching toward. Meeting Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the shuyukh, and greeting them in their hearts, where they walked, where they still walk, spoke and still speak, listen and still listen. Take a moment. Reflect. Make a list. Don't say, if I do this, then I don't have to do that. If I make this small sacrifice, well, then I can avoid that small sacrifice. If I can take this small sacrifice, I can avoid that bigger one. If I take this bigger one, I can avoid the small one. Don't think like that. Just think what opportunities are at hand. At hand. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, during this, your life that you're living today. What can you choose to do to embrace? To be selfless. A small sacrifice. Because Allah is not asking you to walk through fire. Allah is not asking you to speak words apparently disrespectful to your parents. Allah is not asking you to take your child and your wife to the desert and to leave them. Just among the many things, by the way, that Sidney Ibrahim had to deal with. Take a moment. Please make a list. Just as we need a guide for the Hajj, we need a guide in our life. By destiny, people find themselves in that responsible position. Yet who among us truly appreciates that presence, its force, and their guidance, unless and until the need arises? I know I didn't. I know I didn't. Not only I yearned for years for that guidance, and then when I got it, it took me years to appreciate it. Hence, we hear only when we choose to hear. The rest is wind through the leaves of the trees. Of course, at times we appreciate their unswerving presence, their willingness, their self-sacrifice toward us. We articulate it, but we do not see what it is before our eyes or hear what is said aloud in our ears. Yet we hear the whispers clearly of Khanas. How is that? How is that? Because the whispers of Khanas come in our own voice. Our own voice telling us, you should do this, you should do that, you need this, you need that. What was happening? Khanas, Shaitan, is whispering to Sidna Ibrahim alayhi salam, don't do that, don't do that, do that. And they take stones, father and son, and throw at him. This is the Nina, throwing at the shaitan, the stones. Yes? What can we throw? We're not standing in Mecca. It's not just, we're not in Nina. What can we throw? We can choose to make those small sacrifices. Those small choices. And if you think they're big, as you choose them, they shrink. They shrink. But this is one side of the real issue is greater. For who among us rises to the occasion, sees and seizes the moments when we can perceive the personal need or the opportunity to assist our husband, our wife, our child, our parent, our brother, our sister, our friend, our guide, let alone our fellow travelers, who even looks to see what is their need is under the assumption, what? Me? I have no way to assist. Or, if I'm needed, I'll be told what to do, when to do it, where to do it if necessary. I remember sitting across the road here. Hazrat was here. And he says to me, and I noticed for days holes in his socks. Holes in his socks. I'm praying behind him, right? And I noticed holes in his socks. And I'm thinking, oh, he's got holes in his socks. And he turns to me and he says, if you're going into town, can you ask someone to get me some socks? And I said, oh, I saw you. I wanted to get you socks. I said, get your socks. So we get him the socks, and he has money in his hand. So I stopped a while. Let's take your money. No, you'll have to take it. I said, no. How's that? I don't take your money. The socks. Don't be silly. I saw you had holes in your socks. I was going to get your socks in it. He said, but you didn't. So if I ask for something, I pay for it. If you give it, it's something different. You know, to me, how much courage it would take to say that? Sometimes I say those things and I get angry because the angry covers my embarrassment to say it. I'm telling you. He just calmly, peacefully says to me, but you didn't, and when if I ask for something, then I pay for it. Some of you have experienced that. Listen carefully, I'll tell you what I've learned. Truly, service and sacrifice seem to be opposites. Don't they? But to the Sufi, to the truly humane human being, personal, spiritual and even worldly recognition and gain comes bountifully from both. Sidna Ibrahim and Sidna Ismail exemplify this. The relationship of love and trust illustrated in the mutual respect and concern. As Sidna Ibrahim reveals in his experience in sleep, some say dream, but the word is manama, in the bed, or by extension in rest, or in sleep. The element of doubt exists. There, you see, since dreams can be deceiving, everybody knows dreams can be deceiving, he uses the word manama. He doesn't say rakya here. Very important. And he asks his son advice. Here is a man who gave advice to his father. Get it in context. Right? He said, oh, you're worshiping these idols. Now he turns to his son and he asks him for advice. How old is his son? He's an adolescent. Inni arafil manami ani azbahuka fan nudur madatara. Oh my son, I have seen in a dream that I must sacrifice you. His dream is in the bed. So look, what is your view? Kalda ya abdi fa'al ma turma sataj dunni insha'ala lahu mina sabareen. Oh my father, do what you are ordered by the will of Allah, you shall find me steadfastly patient. Sabareen, my friend, sabareen, patience, not willing. Patient, persevering, not courageous. Not resigned. Allah could have said all these words. I'm resigned to this. I'll be courageous. I'll be strong. Here's the key. Certainly this is big patience. But what about us today when you go home? When you go to work? What in our character can we focus on? What in, ask assistance with? Change and bring true patience and perseverance into our life so that the larger trials may be met with ease and trust and faith. And patience. Or will we continue to go along the road of hopeful ignorance and arrogance or fearful avoidance, as some of us do, who don't rock the boat too much and wait for the test and hope that we will somehow find a cachet of patience, selflessness, perseverance in that moment. Not having to prepare for it at all. Wait for the big test to come and say, now I'm going to be ready for it. Think. This is the second pause. Please think about this. Don't look around. Just think. So, do you have something to be patient over? Do you have something to practice? Have you seen a need outside of yourself? Does that include yourself? That you could make a small sacrifice to be patient with? What situation? For the benefit of what person? Your friend, your co-worker, your brother, your sister, your neighbor? Can you contribute your heart and your kindness and your consideration to? Your time, your effort, your means? To relieve a weight or support with a small sacrifice? If so, contemplate it. Did you catch it? Did your mind wander? Did you actually focus? This event of Sidna Ibrahim and Ismail has not been forgotten for over three millenniums. Not forgotten for three millenniums, yet we're anxious to not have any discomfort, so within hours, if not minutes, if not seconds, we forget not only the lesson of our forefathers, but of our own experiences or teachings, until our next discomfort, our personal disturbance comes, and we look around for help, and we pray to Allah for relief, and for a moment we appreciate the madad of our shayukh, our sheikh, our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the kindness of our spiritual family, and then again we forget, or separate our needs from the needs of others. And we listen, and we resist, or we become distracted from what we could not do to alleviate others from their burden or their concern. No. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to strengthen our faith and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our shayukh. For this is the step-by-step way to uplift our soul and to awaken our hearts and to see with the eyes that see. Beware of the sight of the believer, for he sees with what? Yes. فَلَّمَا أَسْلَمَ وَتَعْلَهُ لَجَبِينَ. Then, when they both surrendered themselves to Allah, He laid him face down, and we call out to Him, wa nadainahu wa anni Ibrahim, kada sadaqata ruhya, inna kadalika najazil muhsinin. You have faithfully, O Ibrahim, fulfilled this vision. Truly, in that way we reward those who excel. Excel in goodness. Now, we know it was a vision at this point. Allah tells it was a vision. Ibrahim didn't know whether it was or not. But Allah says, yeah, it was. And you made the right choice. Yeah, it was a test. And you saw it was. And now here's the grade. That's very important. And so, excel in what? Excel in goodness. What is that? What is goodness? Faith? Trust? Please, in times like this, it's early, it's very easy to turn our attention to very large issues. As we do in our daily work, or some of you doing your work in your environment, turn your issues to law or social justice, like Amina does, or we do in serving humanity, or health care as the nurses do, or education as our teachers do. Big issues. Renewable energy, teaching the next generation in college. Realize, understand that even a small effort at service, which comes in the guise of some small self-sacrifice, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted to you as minimal, an occasional and personal discomforts bring lasting comfort and constant rewards. If not, alhamdulillah, like we're being tried and tested every minute. And those of you who have had some physical ailments that are lasting, you get a sense of what this is like, what this means. And what most of us are being tested and tried for are momentary discomforts, or short-term discomforts, or momentary difficulties, or time frames that are small. You know, really, when you think about it. Nobody's been asked to go by horseback or camelback or by foot from Palestine to the basalt mountains of Saudi. Salamun ala Ibrahim, kadalik najazi al muksinin. Do you have any doubt about this? If you do, and I hope you do, then test it out. Test out embracing these small sacrifices. Take a moment again. Think about what you can do that, although brings you some discomfort or occasional strain, how you can seize that opportunity. Ah, there's an opportunity. I'm going to seize this one because this is going to make me a better person, a stronger person, a better bosom of a better husband, wife, brother, sister, Marid, Marida, whatever. This is going to make me a stronger human being. This is going to make me understand more about humanity. It's going to be able to make me sacrifice on a small level while others are making huge sacrifices and help them. Perhaps it's not one you want to choose. Sometimes things come to us that we didn't choose. People in this room can tell you that. Not a strain you prefer to make a sacrifice or selfless action to ameliorate the situation, but the one that is before you now. And if we consider ourselves as Muslims, if we are perceived by even one person, not many, as a Muslim, and in addition, if we're perceived not only as a Muslim by one person, but one person that perceives us as a Sufi, then we must embrace the opportunity. We must embrace the opportunities that come to us, not in visions or in dreams, but in day-to-day life's challenges, to engage in small sacrifices that soften our hearts, that strengthen our character, that reflect our faith, and bring comfort to those who we love and who love us. We are all on this journey, like it or not, and now it is the time to act, to participate, to act, ask ourselves and each other, my son, my brother, my sister, what is your view? To one who is involved in your decision, in your choices, in your opportunities, because sometimes we don't see them clearly. Or we don't see it as a small test or trial. Or we don't see it as an opportunity. We just feel discomfort. So we turn to someone, brother, a sister, a friend, a parent, shake. Say, what is your view? And serving one another is serving Allah, just as serving the, it's like, we remember that serving the guide is serving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna ladina yubayunaka innama yubayun unna Allah yadu lillahi fawqa adihim. Truly those who swear allegiance to you swear allegiance to Allah, the hand of Allah is over their hand. You remember that? This is the way, the door to guidance and ultimate success. That door can be opened. And as strange as it may seem, we are bonded together by our Islam and by our Sufism. We are interrelated by our devotion and our attachment to the Ummah. We are bonded together by our love for our being part of humanity. We are a part and parcel of this community and the larger community of those who serve. It was the first statement of the first revelation that established this bond. Iqra. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alladhi khalaq. Khalaqna al-insan min alaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created the human being from a clot. Biological reality, alaka. To hang, to suspend what is precious. And the larger metaphor of attachment and bond and devotion and relationship and affiliation, ta'aluk, devotion, affection. To describe both the physical and the subtle reality of our existence and our relationship. Ibrahim's son, blood and flesh. Yet both united in what? A bond of trust and submission to Allah. A relationship that, in this example, transcends the blood relationship. We learn from the sacrifice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not interested in the blood and the flesh, but the act of personal sacrifice and trust. It's always been the message. It is not their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah. It is your piety that reaches Him. He has thus made them subject to you that you may glorify Allah for His guidance to you and proclaim the good news to all who do right. Bear with me a little longer. I know it's long. The Eid al-Adha's message is this. Our Hajj is here and now. We are not in Mecca, so we must take the time to reflect on what we can do to uplift, to submit, to make a small or large sacrifice, to affirm our trust and our trustworthiness, to remove a weight or a worry, to uplift a friend or a loved one, to serve our community, our brothers, our sisters, our shuyukh. I used to rack my brain. I used to tear my heart apart to find ways to serve Hazra. Materially and spiritually, the material part was easier. The greatest joy I had was to relieve a burden from his heart and mind. Maybe just to listen to him talk about not wanting to pay off the people to get a phone line there. Or how to deal with the neighbor who wanted a gate in the behind the place. Or how to get the workers to come. Let alone the Marines who abandoned him. And the pain that it caused him to the point where he couldn't write the letter. He asked me to write the letters to these people. Because he couldn't utter a criticism easily from his mouth. Unfortunately, he knew I could. This is a critical and essential way to move along this path. At times in ways mysterious, at times difficult, but attested to and affirmed by those who came before us and passed their tests and live on in our knowledge, in our hearts, in these stories. Allahu Akbar, I hope this message has been heard. Allah forgive me for it being incomplete and poor one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbi al-Amin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Madiki yawm-ad-Dini. Yaka na'budu wa yaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-Din al-Amtu alayhim. A'ibim al-Mutubi alayhim. Al-Adawaleen amin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ashabihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ansari Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ajwaj Sayyidina Muhammad. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala duriyata Sayyidina Muhammad wa sallam taslim katira. O Allah, evoke your blessings on the Prophet Muhammad and the family of the Prophet and the companions of the Prophet and the helpers of the Prophet and the wives of the Prophet Muhammad and the descendants of Prophet Muhammad alayhi sallam. O Allah, send abundant peace on him. Brothers and sisters, forgiveness and reconciliation at the core of the Sufic approach to solving personal and even global issues. Sufism today is still today truly founded on a form and a level of brotherhood and sisterhood and tolerance and inclusivity and gratitude that is unparalleled. For no other reason, it's not focused on personal enlightenment, the exception of others. And for this reason, it seeks personal and collective healing and rejects exclusivity and rejects revenge. And from a Sufic point of view, it is not appropriate for human beings to consciously or intentionally assume the name Al-Muntakim, the Avenger. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final arbiter, and the human beings must accept limits and expectations. Even the expectations of ending all injustice in this world. Indeed, it is a key element in Islam, both in personal and collective efforts to end injustice, fitna, civil discord, to understand that one acts to one's fullest, but in the end, it's divine justice that prevails. Harmony can only come when all things are in order and by force beyond our ability to control, by a force beyond our ability to control, but not beyond our mandate to seek. Allah is greater, and that greaterness is that transformative moment, the paradigm shift, the epiphany within each individual and society that may over the horizon, if we strive within ourselves, if we assume responsibility, if we end our selfishness and give just a little bit more today, embrace those challenges, that selflessness, that sacrifice, just a bit more may make the world a bit more, or largely more just. And so to the Sufi, make an effort to right what is wrong in no way precludes a greater justice and understanding that those who sow bitter fruit will ultimately taste it. It doesn't mean to abjure effort or a warning or provide something sweeter to taste for someone. The most constructive way for us as Muslims and in Tariqa to contribute to the manifestation of a better world is to seek personal transformation and promote social harmony within our own friendships, our own family, our own Tariqa, and in the world. Don't be distracted by providing it for the world and not among your own brothers and sisters. Don't be distracted by teaching minions or serving minions and not taking that moment to serve those few moments, the little disruptions, the periodic discomforts for those who are near and dear to you, who love you and who you love, and who are your, what should we say, practice boards for turning. You know, in the Nevlevi order, we have this practice board. It's a very important metaphor, analogy here. The board is 3 by 3, 1 cubit by 1 cubit. And in the middle of the board is a dowel. Okay? Now, when you learn to turn, you are transported from the world of feelings and thoughts to the presence of the divine. But to learn to turn, you have to put your toe into that dowel. And believe me, it hurts. It hurts as you learn to turn. Keep that dowel against your foot like that. And you're turning, and it hurts. And you get a blister. You practice sincerely. I used to have one of those boards down the basement somewhere. Sufis appreciate that the world community is now threatened by the very mechanisms which in the past have served us well. And until recently, the dual standard of morality which operated within and among groups served as positive values. The competition among states, the cultural groups formed a frame of reference for a humanity that lived collective life with fragments of the whole. And yet we must be committed to a world that works for everyone and that excludes no human group from its moral khayal, imagination. We must become committed to the hard work of forgiveness, the hard work of reconciliation. Tasawwuf reminds us that reconciliation taught to us in Islam, as Muslims, begins with our own inner self, just as we seek to reconcile the disparate aspects of our own personalities, reason and passion, spirit and matter. So too do we aspire to reconcile the many voices of truth as they manifest within the societies and the cultures. The Sufi approach to politics requires efforts to learn the many faces of humanity and to see the essence unfolded in each person. It enables us to see that the oppressor and the oppressed are both human beings, experience life in all its vicissitudes. It helps us to perceive that reason and intuition are two faces of truth, and that planning and spontaneity are equally valid and complementary ways of fulfilling our human potential. Rather than seeing civilization and barbarism, we see culture. Perceiving harmony and potential complementarities amid great cultural diversity is an exercise in awareness, and this awareness reflects the progression of our individual search to know humanness as described by the many wisdom traditions in the world. But it comes from our Islam that we can truly understand this, acknowledging and accepting the basic differences in the worldview among different people. So today, let us begin anew where? With ourself. Each one of us has, don't pick one. If you have 10 opportunities, pick all 10. Don't just pick one. Begin with ourself. Give to someone here that assistance. Make that small sacrifice and maintain it as truly a gift of Allah. To be a reliever of burdens by good deeds. Allah's apostle was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, I have decreed my obligation and have reduced the burden on my slaves, and I shall reward a single good deed as if it were 10 good deeds. May Allah enable us all to sacrifice in His way the best of our ability and remember the depth of the story of Ibrahim and Ismail. Peace and blessings be upon them both. And redefine in our hearts and our minds such terms as sacrifice, submission, trust, until they reflect in some small way the sacrifice, the submission, the trust of our Father Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we can reach to that point and wake up and realize that life is not about accumulating. It's about sacrificing, and we can redefine sacrifice without that aura of pain and loss that comes always with it. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بما مولانا ونسير واحفظوا أمري لله إن الله بصير بالباب إن الله هو الذي نزل الكتاب وان هو يتولى الصالحين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sufficiency and good and is His trustee and the best to protect and the best to help. My own affair I commit to Allah. For Allah ever watches over His servants. For my protector is Allah, who revealed the book, and He will befriend those who are righteous. Rabbi afni al-dini wa atmin alayhi wa nimatik wa ja'alni abdan sakuran abdan karima. O my Lord, protect for me my religion, complete Thy favors upon me, and make me a devotee most grateful, a devotee most generous. Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. Al-hayu al-qayyum. La tulhizna sinata wa na'am. Lahuma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ardi. Man dalazi yashfu indahu la bi'idni. Ya'lamu bayna aynihim wa makafahum. Wa la yu'tana bishayni min ilmihi illa bima sha'a. واسيا كرسي والسماوات والارض ولا يهد حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. عيد مبارك. Thank you for your patience.